Bob Carr discussed the changes in the pharmacy industry from the end of World War II to the beginning of the 21st century at Arthur's home at 56 Bartlett Hill Road.
Charlie Blue. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we were still, I was still in the Navy, I still had some duty to. Came out and went to the Quality Pharmacy and they suggested I come out to get your employment out here. I went to go out there, I was in my afternoon married. And spoke with Charlie Boyd, and he was enthused about me getting out of the service and coming to work on it. And so we did this, except that we get out to California and we wrote back to him that we're not coming to Concord. We were expecting Bob at that time. So he threatened to do harm to me if I didn't get back in Concord. We did. When we get back in May of 46, we did come out to speak with Charlie, and we were very enthused about coming to work for him because we saw the future together.
And, he has been owner of Richardson Drugstore for a long time.
Oh, Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I forgot when he bought in, but he worked with John Watson, who owned it for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Charlie bought in the very early 40s, 40, 41. So Charlie and I hit it off very well together, and it was interesting for us. We moved to Concord in 48 or late 47.
Yeah, late 47.
And we settled in, and as he retired, I started running the store for him. He taught me a lot of things. He was a gentleman all the way through. I always thought that his son would want to take over the pharmacy as an engineer, but he assured me he didn't want to do the pharmacy, which was good for us. And then we set up a partnership which started in January of 1953, and over the next 10 years I slowly purchased the store from him. And toward the end of that 10-year period he became ill. He had a problem, and he sought to retire early. But by 1963, we owned the Christian Record at that point.
So he was looking for a partner.
He was looking for a partner. He wanted to sort of semi-retire. He reached an age, and he was able to do that.
What was it like practicing as a pharmacist in those days?
Compared to now, there's no comparison. But we had our own problems at that point, as Bob does now, being in business. The computers came in and that solved a lot of problems, but I was a little old to pick up the computer work. I didn't feel like really getting myself involved. But that isn't why Bob working. But it was a much slower pace, although Richardson's was a busy store. And then when we started to expand in 1957 into Lincoln and then West Concord and the Medical Center, we did open Weston until 1963. But that kept me busy, and the challenge was there. I needed challenges, and they were there. But that sort of builds up to how we got the 5 stores. And I guess I didn't mention Glenn Sweat sold in 1960 to me. He wanted out so bad, but he wanted to do all his animal work, whatever you do.
Where is his store located?
Right next to where the post office was most common.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been there for years.
So when he was looking to sell, you didn't purchase that location, did you?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
We did. He wanted out, and finally he said, I'll buy it out. And so I said, well, we'll take over. And we did. We got together. I always liked Glenn. He and I always got along good. But we moved that store to the Plaza 1970. They sent them all over to Charlie Cole. They finished the building over there, and he moved in right away. And it was good move for us. We were fine.
You were a pharmacist, obviously, before HMOs, and many people may have still been paying in a cash world before credit cards or, you know, by check and so forth. It was a different mode of operation.
Well, it was. Yes, I've been registered before I graduated from college. And you're right, the pace was different entirely. We ended up, I think at one point we had something like 3,000 charge accounts downtown here. And it was all manually done until we finally get into bookkeeping machines, and then that was nothing like computers, but we put Doris to work a few times.
You were able to get to know the people in the community. They relied on you.
Even now, I walk downtown, there's many people I don't know, but I see a friendly face, even voting yesterday. Oh, I haven't seen you for years now, but they're old-time customers.
Mm-hmm.
They're either older or younger than me now at this point.
There's a great bond.
Oh, there was great. Mm-hmm. It meant a lot to them, and it meant a lot to us.
Mm-hmm. And when did you begin the pharmacy business?
Actually, I started when I was about 8 years old, going into the old Concord store and filling up the candy and the prescription bottles. And just after school, I got to know both the employees and the customers. It was just quite a unique time. And the type of people that I knew. I think that's the people that convinced me to be into pharmacy. People coming in were so nice and so impressed with the fact that all these pharmacists actually helping people. It's actually a really good feeling. And actually, that's what people are really good for. So that was 8 or 10 years old, and I just graduated, worked up to a front store clerk. 12 years old, and then in the register, and I thought that was cool. Still filling the bottles and, you know, filling the candy, but at that point I was eating more candy than I was really filling.
Yeah,
bubble gum. I used to love the candy. So about sophomore year, I looked into it. That was just really my only,
At that time, when you began the pharmacy, some drugstores had a soda fountain.
Yes, actually, particularly the one downtown, my first experience in the soda fountain. No, I shouldn't say my first experience. But yes, we had a soda fountain there. But then when we opened in Lincoln, they almost demanded a soda fountain. As a matter of fact, Lincoln was a funny one because I knew the Lincoln people very well, and they were trying this on them. Would you care to have a drugstore down in Lincoln? And they loved it. But, so this went over very well. We had a good following, but we had people drive through before we opened the store down there. Relatives drive through town. Where are the customers going to come from? This is where the drugstores would be, but there's no houses in front of them. So, but we were very successful down there. They wanted us, and we wanted them.
And what year was that in Lincoln?
57.
Mm-hmm. And I know Glenn Sweat had a soda fountain because people reminisce about
We have some old pictures of this soda fountain up there, too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We did have it in Richardson, because I guess only the three stores had soda fountain. When we moved to the plaza, we didn't want a soda fountain. They never went for it.
I think running a drugstore becomes a family affair. You were doing bookkeeping?
A little bit, yeah. I'm bringing maybe an extra hand.
And today Nancy is all purpose.
Yeah.
I am the bookkeeper.
What are the biggest changes that, I'll start with you, Walker, that you have seen in the business?
Well, I guess the computer was one of our biggest changes. I know Bob and I went down in New Jersey. You were registered in.
Yes.
You went down there to sort of take a class and to get exposed to computers. And he picked it up so fast, and I was hitting a bad strain all the way through, and I didn't. Go ahead, Bob. You do it. I'm going to sit back. I'll do the books for a while. And that's probably one of the big ones. But and then the medicine changed entirely. Pharmaceuticals. I was on the board down the College of Pharmacy for a number of years, and we could see things going and see how pharmacy was moving, and it was progressing so rapidly. I stayed with it for a long time. After a while, I got old. I don't know if that's what you were.
Anything about the interaction with the physicians, because obviously medicine, the way it was being practiced, began to change for the doctors who interact with you.
Yes, it was much more laid back in the old days. It is now, they're under pressure and they have to make every second count. But we were able to converse with doctors, and doctors would come in and come in the back room and discuss pharmaceuticals and interaction and stuff like that with us. I don't know how much they do it now. I don't know how much you have time to do it. I know you do it with patients all the time. But doctors, we had a good rapport with doctors.
And there's the sense of being at the heart of a community.
Oh, yeah. Well, we felt very close to the community, and they felt close to us. I wouldn't miss that part of it.
And what do you consider the biggest changes and challenges?
There's just so many. It's essentially the same changes as he's mentioned. The changes in medication, changes in pricing, change in insurance. Insurance probably is the biggest problem.
Absolutely. Because we had no HMO, we have to deal with it at that point. Just Medicaid, I guess. And
I do. Maybe the last one wasn't that much of it.
No.
But as far as the conversion of doctors, another advantage of being in a small community is we have a lot of the doctors that come into the school. So we get to talk to them and chat one on one. They're not afraid to call us if they have a question or ask us questions. So even though times have changed, it's still a good feeling to know that the doctors have an update on them and ask you a question about something that doesn't matter. I've done many research speaking to doctors and calling drug companies and how they in this product. We still do that to show the dignity of the regular, not the organization.
Could you describe the insurance challenge?
Well, the insurance has really put a dent into really the whole practice of medicine, spreading into pharmacy. Doctors are now told what to prescribe for certain diseases now. They have to stay within insurance guidelines. We do a lot of conversing back and forth with them on that, whether the insurance will allow another one or not. So, total confusion in the marketplace right now. And the reimbursement rates being so low that you're probably going to average between 50 cents and 80 cents on a prescription, whether it's $400 or whether it's $10. That's about all you're going to put in a prescription.
How did we get to be that way?
just that all these chains that came in, they were looking for more volume. The only way they could get more volume is to make deals with insurance companies and then price themselves to where we're at now. And if you want to participate in insurance, you have to accept that deal. You have to accept that reimbursement. And now they're pushing that you have to spend 20 minutes with a patient to get your prescription, tell them about it, take a medical history. And but there's no reimbursement for it. You still can get the picture of the prescription, which you just can't fly. I mean, we've always, since the days that he practiced back in the 60s, it always impressed me that patients had questions back then. And we were about the only store back in those days that would tell people that this is going to make you better. And it always impressed me, and even before it became law in 1990, we were doing that. And it not only tells people about the medication, it gives them a chance to ask you a question back, or to make a request to ask the doctor, or something like that. And again, being in a small community, it's so rewarding that someone came back and said, gee, thank you, I didn't know that. And my doctor didn't know that. And the word gets around. And it's just a good feeling, which you don't get in this day and age.
Well, Nancy and I were at a meeting this morning when we were told that characterized a particular prescription as not helping the situation, and he was very grateful for that.
I mean, that's why we're into this profession. Not to be hassled by insurance companies, but on the other hand, I'm still there that, you know, no matter what the rule is, professionally.
Now, about the large chains, they weren't, were they around at all when you first started?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they used to inspect the pharmacy. I don't know if it was every month of the year, maybe when they do every 2 months. There weren't that many pharmacies then, and they didn't need the problems that might evolve from it. But yes, we're inspected. We're very...
I meant like a CVS thing.
No, we didn't have anything like that. Just Medicaid, as I alluded to earlier, was the only stringent thing that we had, and there were price controls and all that.
When did the larger pharmaceutical chains like a CVS begin?
Probably around here in the 80s. I think they started maybe just before
you did. I'm thinking back. I'm trying to think. I didn't even give it a thought when they started. And you may be right, Bob.
We were one of the last areas that they came into because it's such a small area. Probably mid-80s.
Yeah, I think that's...
Maybe early 80s, because I think that's when we decided we wanted to wait 2 years to get the computer to make sure we got the right one.
Yeah, because they weren't really hot to trot, or whatever you want to say, back in the early 80s.
No, there's only four or five in the state.
Yeah.
Then they just kept coming and coming and coming because they get reimbursed depending on how many stores they have. Not how many prescriptions they fill, just how many stores they
have. Well, we also always felt that we could give service when the chain first started. And that kept our customers and patients with us. And that worked out fine for a long period of time. And even to this day, I think you'll have to say, Bob, that your service to your customers or the thing that makes you successful.
Yeah, they had a laugh 3 years ago when CVS and Brooks started offering to deliver prescription for charge. I mean, we have been doing it since the 60s. And it really made me laugh to hear them say something like that, that they're finally making up to service. But then all of a sudden, 2 years later, they dropped it because they couldn't afford to do it. So you really have to make up your mind that you're either going to be a service provider or you're going to be a price provider. And now it doesn't matter anyway about price because then there's all the insurance and it's going to be price anyway.
Well, when I walk into a CVS or a Brooks Pharmacy, prescriptions and the pharmacy are only a tiny part of it. You know, they're selling many household and beauty items and et cetera, you know. Is that where their profits are coming from?
They don't care if they fill a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
They make more on selling one bottle of aspirin than they do on filling 10 prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you just have a prescription department to draw people in. It's kind of like a lot of money. And that's why the chain started, actually, because they found a lot of people coming to the pharmacy. You can get them to buy out other things. The CVS used to be just health and beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found the pharmacy drives people in, they went into the pharmacy.
So the pharmacy was like an add-on for them.
Just like a grocery department.
Now, your pharmacy store has reoriented the product line to hospitals?
Yes, we've changed. I mean, there were so many fads in the retail business. You know, fillings of fads for treatment. Maybe about 3 or 4 years, vitamins are hot. And we've always tried to provide things that people couldn't get anywhere else, which is actually why we started into hospitals as well. And eventually it started getting more and more into different little groups, big cans of drugs for people with arthritis, things like that. Very unique areas. And that's an environment that's actually maybe generally. So yes, we have changed our point of view. Reading cards are still a big thing about it because there's no way to read cards so we've tried to handle our, I mean, it's the same with us because we use that kind of store in order to do it. But what our thinking is in the course, we need to find fuel at another store to find ourselves.
Yeah. There has been a proliferation of healthcare services for an aging population in Concord, whether it's Metaplex or New England Deaconess and it's the hospital, Suburban Manor. Is your business also key to those institutions?
We do service the New England Deaconess Nursing Home, and part-time pharmacists and myself, fellows of the American Society of Trauma Pharmacists, which is just an organization that certifies you as being protective services. But we also do a lot of pediatric work, which makes it great because you never, you see most of these stories are either in an old age community or they're a pediatrician. We run the whole gamut. And that's, again, the nice thing about being a community person, which you see young kids, we have kids that you fill prescriptions when they're born, and they're growing up with fill prescriptions. Next thing you know, they come to work for us. Then they go away to college. Then they move back into town with their families. I mean, it really is a unique experience.
You follow the cycle of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they remember. I forget who it was the other day that they came back and said, I remember you filled a prescription for me because my father had to go down and get it at 10:30 at night. Growing up, Jimmy Grosso. Jimmy Grosso. And he said, I always remember that. And I mean, that's the nice thing about it. But you do feel a part of it. You do feel a part.
You know, Bob, to continue on that just for a second, I recall many times in the past that people who were old enough, but to go out at night with somebody, a mother who has a young child and getting a prescription, and it comes back to you, not to haunt you, but to praise you in the future, because I've had so many times, gee, I remember you came out at 2 o'clock in the morning, but Bob's doing the same thing. People are calling, and it's great. Well, you can't get the change for that. Go back to the change.
And you don't do it just because of that. You do it because you care about the people.
You're right. Mm-hmm. It's part of your...
Which you don't get for the change. I think all my time is just... And even my friends really say that. You know, it's like family. It's a nice family.
Even today, we deliver twice a day, and... an elderly lady called to get from Robitussin a prescription, and she said, you don't sell lemons by chance. I said, no, but would you like a lemon? She said, sure. I said, okay, I will send a lemon up with your package. So I went to the White Inn, and I bought a lemon. It only took 5 minutes. But she couldn't get out, so she was probably having tea and lemon or something. But they call all the time, could you send some milk, you know, with that? And we just walked down to the White Inn and just put it on the charge and send it up.
So you do a lot of deliveries.
Oh, yeah. We do a lot of deliveries. We go out twice a day, and then we go out on weekends if it's needed, and if someone calls us at home, you know, walks us out and takes care. We do a lot of deliveries, especially for new mothers with babies who can't get out, or for elderly, or for anyone who's had surgery and can't get out. We do that. And they get used to it. In fact, especially for some elderly people who are alone and don't have family around, they look forward to that delivery.
Sure.
Coming to spend 20 minutes. it's someone coming in saying, hi, how are you? Bring in the newspaper, bring something, you know, some food from the store if they need it. But this is just part of our everyday routine. We think nothing is going, not saying, oh, are you kidding? We don't sell them. Sure, we'll get them.
I have a friend who I found out later after we've been friends for many years. The night they moved to Japan, the day they moved to Japan, during the night, her child was sick. And she called the doctor said, well, call the doctor's concern. And after when I was about 2 o'clock in the morning, filled a prescription. And I didn't realize it at the time who it was for until a month later. And she said, you know, she said, I've never been any place else. I was new in town, I didn't know who to call. And you had me come up and deliver it right to the house. And she said, it was just a wonderful thing, a good experience.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
Today, the HMO is almost determined whether they can go to your store or not, you know, which is unfortunate.
But I think we've reached a volume of things that are really good. We don't have to accept these contracts with you can't even break even if you don't want it. We're going to continue to provide service for the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like that. They're just going to know they keep calling you every week.
Mm-hmm.
This person wants to make it worthwhile, you know.
I think
the whole time is turning back to the service oriented. People are being more service-oriented. They're kind of going to restriction. There's more people. You know, dropping the total insurance code is dropping the drug benefit. Just like the service, the graduate purpose program is announced.
And also mention about how things are going around the full cycle. Arthur opened Lincoln back in 57.
Yeah, right.
And with all those, you know, customers there, and he sold it, they sold it to radio managers.
Yeah, the 3S in 70. Three of our managers bought the Lincoln store for me in 72 or 73. I'm not quite sure. This Steve bought the Western pharmacy in either 72 or 73. But anyhow, they ran it with three of my managers. And they just, they sold it about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And, they what?
To a chain.
To a small chain. Mm-hmm. And that small chain just closed a shop twice within a month.
Right. And so now we have the original customers that went to Arthur at Richmond Drug in downtown Concord and then went to the Lincoln when we opened that. Now they've gone full circle and they're coming back to us on the bus. Not only do we have the original customers, we have two of their employees.
Yes.
So when the Lincoln people come in and they see a familiar face, they remember Bob when he worked at the soda fountain in downtown Concord. They remember Arthur. Mm-hmm. Sometimes bump into him in the store. And it feels like they've come home again. And even though their records were sent to another pharmacy, they'd rather just have everything transferred and come someplace where they're recognized. And they get that service. I mean, they even travel from the other side of Lincoln all the way to West Concord. But it has gone full circle. And as I said, two of the other pharmacies, you know, the Lincoln pharmacy that closed, we have two of their employees that have come to work for us, and possibly a third. But it's interesting to see and to hear the customers when they come in with their stories. But when they used to go to Richmond, they have such great memories, and then fall into Lincoln and back to the pharmacy.
When did you retire and sell the Concord Center store?
84.
I was saying
year
we were married.
Okay, you remember.
I remember.
What's that, the year we were married?
That's the year we were married, 1984.
Yes, we sold to John Perry. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a whole story, but I'm not going to get into that. Well, it's falling. But anyhow, he remodeled the building, and I was gone before that night. Didn't want any files. So John wanted to take it over. But then I went to work in West Concord for a short time. I was semi-retired in the office. Mm-hmm. And Bob took over there, and finally he had to work for him.
Were you at the Concord Center store at
all? Yes, I was a pharmacist when he owned all five stores. Mm-hmm. So I worked all five stores at one time. So I know what it was like. I'm not sure if we could do it in the state of all the service.
Mm-hmm.
So we
no, things are changing. You know, I think this is why we decided it's time to condense it. Really. I wanted to make a comment about, and I don't want to mention a name, a doctor who made a comment to you from Lincoln about the Lincoln. And I'm glad that a lot of the Lincoln people are there's another independent pharmacy that he can suggest people come to for this kind of thing.
Right.
I forgot the comment, but I know the gist of it.
He doesn't, so he was in again yesterday, and he said, it's such a pleasure to walk in here. He says, I'm recommending to all my patients that they come here. He says, you help us out in the office, you know, catching things that sometimes aren't just right. He remembers things like that. So it was a really nice, it's a doctor that was around back when we first opened.
Really? Wow.
So
you had Lincoln, Concord Center, West Concord, Weston, and what was
the fifth? We had another one at the medical center, what used to be called the Concord Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some,
next to Walden Nursing Home.
Mm-hmm. No, next to Walden. Yeah. She said, yeah. I'm hard of hearing too, that's why I'm not guessing some of the truth. Mm-hmm. But you're right, next to the Walden, right in the corner. We had one downstairs. I remember Dr. Purcell started his practice across the hall from us. Oh, we had a number of people I knew up there then. Happy Jenny and Dr. Dustin built that.
Mm-hmm.
Dentists. Other dentists.
Yeah,
And you sold the Weston store in the 70s?
I sold it. Excuse me. It was 72 and 73 for Lincoln, and Weston went, I'm not sure if it was 72 or 73.
Mm-hmm. It was about that time,
wasn't it? Our general manager at that point bought that store.
Mm-hmm.
He was an excellent man. He just retired a couple of years ago himself.
Mm-hmm. What do you see the future bring you?
That's a good question.
What?
I want to hear the answer to this.
I don't think anyone in medicine really knows what the future holds. I think a lot depends on the strength of the insurance companies, how much more they're going to dictate into what's being done. I think right now there's a big concern that revolts against insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
because they're just being told too many things to do and don't necessarily agree with what the doctors think or even the patients think. So it's hard to say what's going to happen, but at some point I think we're going to go full circle again. I think the insurance company is going to be in the background just maybe 20, 25 years from now. But doctors are going to be in the practice, pharmacists are going to be in the practice. They are going to be, our role is going to be changing into more of a consultant. We're going to have aides that are going to count the tab and pull the bottle off the shelf, which some are using now. Pull the bottles off the shelf, put the label on, go to the pharmacy to check it, bring it out to the patient, and then consult with the patient about telling us. That, I think, it's going more in that way. How far it goes, again, is going to depend on the insurance companies. But hopefully we'll be able to go with the flow and still provide the service. I was telling someone yesterday that if I had to practice as a chain pharmacist in my store, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. Been brought up that way, practiced that way, and I couldn't change.
I was curious when you began the shopping center. It was the Derby Farm?
Yes. And it was an antique store that I remember.
It was the plaza.
It was at one time belonged, it was a farm.
There was a farmhouse there, and we owned. Yeah, I thought you said Derby.
It wasn't a farm at that point, it's just an antique store, but it was previously a farm.
Correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the carriage right out in front.
Yeah.
That's how far back I don't know why, I was brought up in West, we used to live when we first moved to Concord on Farm Street, which is just down the street from Westwood Road.
Yeah.
So I remember the old open markets, food markets down there, and thank goodness, because I mean that just ties what I'm doing together.
So the markets were right around the plaza area?
No, there was a market up where Condon's was.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one down where down in the post office was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No.
I remember
the two markets and the 5 and 10. John Forbes is still in the 5 and 10.
Yeah.
You know, you a comment that maybe made that Bob's talking about the future of pharmacy, and you were asking about that. But when Bob went to school, when I went to college, there was a 4-year program before I could take my boards. Just prior to that, it was a 3-year program. But then Bob started, he was in the first 5-year class before he could take his boards. And now, just this last year, there's a PharmD program in which requires a 6-year schooling before you can take boards. They go into many different areas of pharmacy, not in particularly pharmacy. I just thought I'd comment on that because we didn't talk anything about that.
No, I think that's important what the requirements are.
Yeah, it's changed. It's changed. Not that we've changed, which I'd be
unsure. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think it's been very... Actually, it has been fun following through.
What do you say?
It's kind of unique. I mean, everyone, every father-son combinations have their times, but the whole profession impressed me, the way he carried himself out, going on the finance and town boards, and the board of trustees of the College of Pharmacy. And I wouldn't change the thing. I enjoy the small community, practice in the small community, even on the machine, or pain.
In the book, Shaping the Vision, there is a chapter on the cars and a comparison of running the pharmacies in Arthur's time and currently in Bob's. Thank you.